place where we've been so that we can remember that place. And as we put them on the tree, she remembers each of those times and sometimes even some of the people that gave us some of those ornaments. And we place them on the tree and she talks about them and I say, I don't remember that. But she does, and so that creates a wonderful tradition. I think I've also told you, or maybe she has, about the tradition that she and our son Jacob established as Jacob was growing up, since I was pretty much absent on Christmas Eve, being at church and doing church things on Christmas Eve. The two of them developed this little ritual, this little tradition of choosing what they would have for dinner. She actually let Jacob choose what they would have for dinner. Sometimes it was pizza, sometimes it was salmon, sometimes it was spaghetti with Jello on the side or something. It had some weird kind of things. But then she also had this idea that the fine china that we have stuck in this closet over here, this display case, hardly ever gets used. And so even as Jacob was 5 and 6 and 7 years old, she pulled out the fancy china. And they had their somewhat obscure meal on those beautiful dishes and using that beautiful crystal. And so that became their tradition as I was away doing the chores that I was called to do. I developed a tradition of giving themed stocking gifts to Jana and eventually to Jacob. One year I made it all about fun-looking socks. And the next year I would get maybe a whole bunch of teas that she liked, you know, to make hot tea with and the implements to help make that. And so that became a tradition in our family. And I think I've also told you about the tamale making that we've actually started to do since we moved here. When we lived in New Mexico and Arizona, we were able to buy tamales out in the community and have those for our Christmas meal sometimes. We couldn't find any tamales around here, really. And so we decided we'd start making our own. And we do that usually the day after Thanksgiving and stick them all in the freezer, give some of them away, and that becomes a wonderful tradition for us. So I gave the microphone away. I want him to bring that around to you and for you to share some of the traditions that are part of your lives. Somebody wants to, and wait for the microphone to come so that our friends on the radio and computer can hear. But go ahead, come on up and put your hand up and let us know if you have a tradition that you'd like to share about what your family is all about. Right over here. Is the microphone on? Does it have a green light? Does it have a green light? No, don't.
Swedish meatballs and lefse.
Give it to me. Oh, there it is. Yep. You want to bring it up just a little bit, Kent? Okay.
Swedish meatballs and lefse.
There you go. Now everybody can hear. Swedish meatballs and lefse. How many people share that tradition? There's still a few. There's still a few. Okay. Mostly on this side of the room. I don't know how that works. Okay. What else, Gary?
This is between Christmas and New Year's in northeastern Montana, where I grew up. There was a tradition called Yule Walking, which stands for Christmas Foolery in Norwegian, maybe across Scandinavian languages. But you'd be at home one night between Christmas and New Year's, and a bunch of cars would come in. They probably had their lights out. A bunch of costumed people would come in the house. And you would try to figure out who they were.
Who they were.
If you figured it out, they would unmask. When everybody was unmasked, you would share some maybe adult libations.
Okay.
And you would perhaps then costume up yourself, join the crowd, move on to the next neighbor.
Okay, I see.
Yule walking.
Yule bach.
Yeah.
Yule bach. Okay. Christmas foolery, going to people's houses disguised in masks, and I don't know if I recommend that these days, but if you trust the people, maybe somebody can be alerted to the reality of it before it happens. Anybody else? Anybody else out there? We'll bring the microphone to you. Over here, Betty.
Okay. Well, in our family, we have quite a big family, 9 kids. But it was a tradition to, we had to eat our breakfast first, and then
Christmas
we
morning.
Could go in an order, a birth order. Okay, Carol, Margaret, Sue, Betty, Kathy, David, Ann, Ellen, Sarah.
So you go into the Christmas tree in birth order?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then you open your presents in that order?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was really cool.
So youngest first, right?
What's that?
Youngest first?
No, oldest.
Oldest always gets to go first. Okay, all right. Wonderful, wonderful. Opening presents on Christmas morning. What else? We have a couple back there in the back room.
We're the same.
The same thing, but use the microphone so people can hear.
So we end up kind of having a 4-day celebration because my son's birthday is December 22nd. And so we focus on him on that day. And then, of course, you have Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But December 23rd is, in our house, is affectionately known as Christmas Adam, because from which proceeds Christmas Eve.
Christmas what?
Christmas Adam.
Adam and Eve. Christmas Adam, and then Christmas Eve.
And so our traditional Christmas Adam dinner, we have ribs.
Ribs for the Christmas Adam dinner. You never know. See, this is risky doing this, letting you guys talk. There's probably lots of other traditions. One more? Let's have one more right over here, and then I want to ask a couple other questions, see what you can say about those things.
How about lutefisk and lefse?
Lutefisk and lefse. We have Swedish meatballs and lefse. But how about the lefse? Or, I mean, the lutefisk. How many people are on you? Oh, now some of these. Now, oh.
No.
Oh, okay. See, I so now I told you this was going to be, so my next question is, what traditions do you think should go away? No. No, so the next question is, what makes those traditions special? What is it that makes those traditions, is it the lutefisk or is it something else? Is it the going in order to the Christmas tree or is it something else? What makes those traditions special?
The people,
the family, the memories. Yeah. What else?
The repetition.
The repetition of it. The knowing what to expect, right? Yeah. Are there any of those of your favorite traditions that you've had to set aside or have sort of gone away as the years progress? Are there any of those traditions that have sort of faded into the history and lore of family? Do you have anybody have any stories about that? We'll bring the microphone to you. Anybody? Think about that, though. Think about all of the ways you've celebrated the holidays or any other time of the year. Maybe it's summer traditions. Maybe it's traditions around the first day of school. Are there any of those things that have sort of changed over the years, things that have gone away? Maybe you kind of mourn that a little bit, maybe you grieve because of that change, but you also know that new people have different lives and different people kind of experience things different. Yeah, one more thing over here. Some way that traditions have changed.
Well, my kids, Dolores's grandkids were little, now they're 30. And she and Bill used to come over on Christmas morning before the kids opened their presents, and they would have breakfast with us and watch the kids open their presents. And, of course, the kids are older now, and Bill has passed. So that is something that is passed as well. And Dolores is here with you in Montana.
Yeah. Yeah, as families change, the rituals change, don't they? Yeah. Are there any traditions that have grown up as new traditions because of things changing? Like Jana and Jacob's tradition of having a goofy meal on Christmas Eve with the fine china, that sort of arose because they found that they needed to kind of create something of their own. Without the fullness of our little family together on that day, They created something that became new. Anything that new that came up in your lives that you remember being made new even as you experienced it?
Coming to Montana for Christmas.
That was new and different, huh? Okay. Where did you have Christmas before?
Minnesota.
In Minnesota, yeah. Yeah, sure, you betcha. Yeah, another one over here.
Skiing on Christmas morning and stopping to see Jesus in the top of chair two.
There you go.
Not this year.
Not this year, but up at Whitefish Mountain, formerly known and more affectionately known as Big Mountain, there is a statue of Jesus at the top of chair two. And those who can go skiing on Christmas morning can get up and go do that and stop by and pay a visit to the statue of Jesus on Christmas Day. Yeah. Oh, Chuck, one more.
So this is a recent change.
Okay.
Finally, Bev's family's dynamic has changed, and now she spends Christmases here.
There you go.
Skiing.
And skiing at Big Mountain, but not this year. Not yet. Maybe we'll have to have another Christmas later in the month when it snows, because we're gonna trust that it will snow around here eventually. So, as we think about these traditions, new and old, let's think about and hear a little bit about the old and the new from Simeon and Anna. Notice in the gospel reading today that Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus are intentional about observing the rules of the law. They're intentional about doing the things that are traditional for their people. They're going to Jerusalem to fulfill those things that are supposed to be done after a baby is born and when they need to dedicate that first son to the work of the Lord. And Simeon and Anna, for themselves, live in the place of tradition. They live in Jerusalem. They spend their time in the temple. They spend their days practicing and repeating the rituals and the gifts of the law and what God has given them to do, to remember that God is continually with them. And yet, Simeon and Anna, they wait for something new as well, don't they? They see and hear about a promise of God to make all things new. A restoration of Israel, they call it, but also a new life in God. It's almost as if they're waiting for new management to come and take over. It's possible, important for us to remember the traditions, to keep the old ways, to honor our past, and also look toward those ways that God is making things new, that God's promises are bringing into us not only new traditions, but new ways of being with one another and being with our community and our neighbors. Isaiah speaks of the tradition of a wedding, which is by all means a tradition of rituals going back generations. But because it's a wedding, the implication there is that things are also being made new. This new couple is coming together to form a new family. So the old is mixing with the new, and the new is, in some ways, taking over for the old and becoming the new tradition. Paul reminds us that we are adopted into God's family. We are made heirs. We aren't born into that tradition, but we are made heirs of the promise, given the hope of promise to be inherited. Inheritance allows what has been nurtured through one life be passed on and experienced again in a new way, creating new hope for a new generation. Jesus will fulfill all righteousness, it is said in Scripture. And Jesus, this child whom Anna and Simeon embrace and extol just as we have this Christmas season, will not only fulfill all our traditions, but will make all things new. Let us not forget to let the new traditions become just as special and exciting in our lives and in the lives of our neighbors.